Blog Talk Radio.
You know, nobody wants to go out there and have a season-ending injury and can't play, you know, the following year. So it's a tough game. It's a tough act, you know, to put on for the fans and things like that. I know they want us to come out there and, you know, practice really hard. I mean, go really hard and, you know, put on the show. But, you know, those guys, you know, have to think about their families and things like that they have to take care of.
Fantasy sports and politics.
You in the right place, so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It is Mr. FSP. We are broadcasting live on this February 4th, counting down the hours until the Super Bowl begins. I'm riding solo right now, just to give you a heads up. Hopefully one of my co-hosts will call in and help a brother out. But if not, I can rock the mic for an hour by myself. So, what's happening on today's show? We got a ton in store. On this episode of FSP, we will cover the Super Bowl. Belichick talks about the preparation. Jason Whitson gives his thoughts about the Gronk, Mr. Steven Gronkowski. You know, I guess tight end is not a bad thing. You know, he's giving paying his respects to him. Also, Plexico Burress talks a lot, if you guys didn't know. And this week, he talked a lot. He talked about the rumors going around in the Jets camp. That's why I need Jerry to call in, because if he calls in, I'm going to ask all about that. He talks about how in 2007, they were invited to a Patriots party. Now, the Patriots lost that Super Bowl to the Giants. It was their lone defeat all season, postseason as well as regular season. And Plexico talks about that. He also talks about how he feels about Eli Manning if he wins his Super Bowl. Now, if you listen to Thursday's show, which is also airing currently on Fantasy Sports Channel, or the Fantasy Sports Network, whatever it's called nowadays, you can hear my guys talking about it because it was Thursday's show is getting aired right now over there. But my guys, Jerry, Rick surprised everybody and called in, and Jeff talked about that same issue. You know, and today we were supposed to be discussing our top five quarterbacks of all time. Didn't happen, but we'll see what happens. But again, we'll hear a lot about Plexico Burress and things he dealt with as far as back in 07 and his thoughts. Also, at the top of the hour or top of the show, you heard a conversation that Roddy White had with a reporter in reference to what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the NFC team not playing really hard during the Pro Bowl. Now, even here on our show, we talk about it, and we say, well, nobody really cares about the Pro Bowl. But the fact is, these guys do pretty much get a paid vacation if they win or lose. It's just a little bit more money for the winner. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to say the Pro Bowl is worth any actual betting or ratings or nothing. Because, look, it was 100 total points scored. That really doesn't happen in an NFL game. Unless you're Cleveland. Sorry, Browns. But, you know, it really doesn't happen unless you're in that type of situation, to be honest. But if you miss what Roddy had to say, I'm going to play it again, and let's see what you think.
You know, nobody wants to go out there and have a season-ending injury and can't play, you know, the following year. So it's a tough game. It's a tough act, you know, to put on for the fans and things like that. I know they want us to come out there and, you know, practice really hard. I mean, go really hard and, you know, put on the show. But, you know, those guys, you know, have to think about their families and things like that that they have to take care of.
So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we don't take the Pro Bowl really seriously, but I can recall when the late Sean, oh, my goodness, his last name escapes me right now, Washington Redskins free safety, died from a gunshot wound to his thigh in a home invasion. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Sean Taylor, thank you. Sean Taylor, when he played in his Pro Bowl, he totally destroyed the kicker. The kicker was coming around on a fake punt, and he hit him like he normally would hit a regular player. Some players, when they play in that game, what they do is they only have one level of ability, and that's to play, pardon the language, balls to the wall. So when you play balls to the wall and all you know is to go full speed all the time in a game, you're going to have hits and collisions. People might get hurt. But to Roddy White's point, what he's saying is nobody wants to end their career in the Pro Bowl in a game that's meaningless. For, let's say, I believe the winning team got maybe $35,000, $45,000 each player, and the losing team got $25,000. If I have a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract, I think I would play hard, but would I play my hardest as if it was a real game that counted? I don't think so. I don't think so. But let me bring in my co-host, Mr. JT Money, Jerry Taylor, and let's see what Jerry thinks about this. Mr.
Talk
Taylor,
to me, man.
What do you think about Roddy White's comments going back at Aaron Rodgers as it refers to playing hard in the Pro Bowl? Roddy said, you know, people have to really worry about their kids and their careers and their family, so I don't fault them for not playing that hard. What do you think about those comments in converse to what Aaron Rodgers had to say?
To me, that's all much ado about nothing. It's a freaking Pro Bowl. I mean, it's an all-star game. He wasn't really playing that hard, in my opinion. So a whole lot ado about nothing, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, you know, I was trying to make the compare and contrast as to how certain players such as Sean Taylor and Aaron Rodgers – in the Pro Bowl, at least I know for a fact that Sean Taylor played for real, because that hit on that punter when they did the fake punt, it was like, okay, well, this might be the Pro Bowl, but you're still going to get hit. You're still going to play football.
Right.
You know, so they only have one level of playing, which is extremely high at all times. So I thought it was interesting enough to bring up. But I am so glad you're here, because I have a slew of sound bites from Plexico Burress.
Okay.
That New York Jet state of mind that you got up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Plexico, let's start with the most controversial one first.
Okay.
Plexico says that after the 2007 season, the Super Bowl, after the game, a party was held. And guess who got invited?
This is Nola. I actually got a text from Dante Stallworth night before the game. So, hey, man, if you want to come to our party,
let me know. I had heard that those guys had like 200 bottles of Cristal on ice already back at the hotel ready to party. And they really actually did invite us to their party before the game even started.
So Dante Whitner, Buffalo Bill, if I'm not mistaken.
What about him?
But he wasn't on the Patriots in 2007, was he?
No, he said Dante Stallworth.
Oh, Dante Stallworth, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stallworth was there. Stallworth
mm-hmm.
was with the Patriots that year.
Mm-hmm.
So 200 bottles of Cristal, ready, willing, and able to pop the cork. That's what I would say gave the Giants, at least Plexico, a good reason to step up their game. And Plexico made the comments he made that they wouldn't score over 17 points, and Plexico was right because they didn't
mm-hmm.
this year. And you guys talked about it. Just heard Slick Rick on the show from Thursday
mm-hmm.
saying how Miss Buncheon or Miss Brady now stated, you know, that Tommy needs all the prayers he can get and stuff. I mean, are these signs that say, one, it says they were overconfident in 07 and now in 2012 that they're worried? Talk to me, Jerry.
Well, they probably were overconfident because they were 18-0 at the time, they had pretty much steamrolled over quite a few people except for the Giants in that season. I think they had some other close games, I can't recall, but the Giants was the one I can recall that was a close game. So they definitely going into the Super Bowl, they thought that they had a push-button team that they could just go in and win, and the Giants showed them something differently. This year, the Giants beat them, and it happens to be that the Patriots didn't beat a winning team all year. The two teams that were winning teams that they played, they lost to, which were the Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their pass rush is more intense than it was when they first played the Giants this past season and with the pass rush, and they got beat. So, yes, I would think they're more mature, especially Brady, more low-key, and they realize the Giants are more formidable, especially Eli. We're talking about 4 more years of Eli having experience, and Eli has matured to an elite quarterback that he said he was at the beginning of the season. So there's a lot of different things going on that are positive for the Giants that would have the Patriots worried. Yes, I would say they have a little bit more to worry about than when they first played him in 2007 compared to 5 years later or 4 years later, whatever you want to speak.
Okay. Well, that was the only thing that your boy Plex had to talk about. You know, your boy Plex, I don't know what happened in the interview, but he just, like, started talking and talking and talking. And the issue of Eli came up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he had to say about Eli and the Hall of Fame.
He's one win away, I think, from, you know, being a Hall of Famer. I mean, I really believe that. If he goes out and wins this game tomorrow, I mean, I really believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer. If he doesn't, I don't think that this game defines him.
That's your boy Plex in Jersey.
Well, let me put it this way:
he did play with Eli, so
right.
You can go there.
Yeah, he did play with Eli, and that just goes to show you how much he respects he has for Eli. That's a very big surprise to me because I think that he was a big headache to Eli. I guess he's realized or he's matured enough to realize that Eli has matured and he's matured enough to realize that he had a good when he had it with the Giants You never know until you never know the grass is greener until you go on the other side and notice it's not. So I guess he realized the quarterback that he played with last year is nowhere close to what Eli was is now.
Well, I'll tell you that. I got another sound bite about Plaxico and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Since he is your quarterback and you didn't even say his name, so that's definitely disrespectful right there. But, I mean, you're the Jet fan, not me. But here's what Plax had to say about the rumors about Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
All the finger pointing, all those things that I've been hearing about, you know, in the media. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you shouldn't have. But for some reason, you know, everybody is kind of exercising, you know, their opinion out in the public about what was going on and how they felt, which is, you know, it's not a part of football and where I come from.
So he steps up for Mr. Sanchez in a way.
Well,
I mean, Mark Sanchez is your quarterback. You are the one that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me.
Well, I talked to you, and I've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks, and no one's really picked up on what I've said. And that's no fault to you, but no one's really picked up on what I've said. What I've been saying for the last 2 weeks is this, or 3 weeks, whatever I've been talking about it. I brought it up on my show on Sunday, and I also brought it up on the FSP crew show a few times. Guys are talking out, which for the most part, is an unwritten rule that you don't bring your laundry out to the light. You keep it in the locker room. And
you sound
for
like
some
Jim
reason,
Irsay.
Huh?
You sound like Jim Irsay.
Well, no. Well, I've been saying this before Jim Irsay ever came out about what he said about Peyton Manning. I had said that about 2 weeks ago on the FSP Crew show. I had to say he said the same thing. I don't understand the mentality and what's going on with these guys, and it seems like it's been taking place all this past season, maybe even last season, but it seems like more prevalent this season that guys are just calling their players, they're calling their teammates out and saying, expressing their feelings of things that should be kept in the locker room. Plaxico, for all the things that happened to Plaxico, he has never, if I can recall, he has never dogged a teammate in the media. Never called him out. Never said in so many words that this teammate is not doing what he's supposed to do. And I think he came and said something like that. Now it's like he did not. You know, you don't do that. And I keep on saying it. I'll keep on saying it over and over again when I hear these guys make comments. Not Plaxico, but other guys make comments about their teammates or about their locker room or about their team out in the media versus keeping it in-house. I got to knock LaDainian Tomlinson for – I mean, he went on the inside the NFL and spilled a whole bunch of stuff that shouldn't have even been come out on TV with a viewership like that. That's all that stuff should have been kept in-house. Talk to the coach, talk to the coaching staff, talk to the general manager or the owner. Kept that all in-house and try to fix it from there. You can't fix it from the outside because you just create resentment and a mistrust in teammates when you do things like that. So,
well, Plaxico, I mean, LT, he's pretty much out of there. What does he care? He has a Hall of Fame career. Odds are he's not going to be back with the Jets. You know, if he is, it's going to be at a very, very reduced dollar number and role.
Okay.
So, I mean, what does he care if the laundry gets put out there? It's not his laundry.
He was on the team, okay? There's mm-hmm. been many teammates on different teams, even guys that are in the out of the locker room right now that don't air the laundry out in the open, say this thing happened, this thing happened. Now, I'm not saying it's all of the players that you see on TV now that are, I should say, ex-players. But I'm of the belief, and I've always been a belief, and I've said this over and over, and I've even said it to this total stranger today that I met, a total stranger who started talking to me out of clear blue sky. I'm under the philosophy.
Someone recognized your voice from the show.
No. I'm under the philosophy of this. You never burn your bridges because you never know when you have to cross that bridge back over again. You follow me? You burn a bridge, and that person or persons that you burn the bridge to get to another spot, you may have to turn around and walk over that bridge. Now you're in trouble because you burned the bridge. I've never done that and never will.
So you're telling me you were talking to CL?
Excuse me?
You were talking to CL?
No.
No. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't believe in burning bridges at all, man. I got you.
But did you get my joke?
No.
CL. LaMonica, man. LaMonica.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Like I said, I regardless of what's been done or whatever, I don't believe in burning bridges, and because as quick as you're up, you can go down. You know,
correct.
Quick as you fall. Right. And you step on somebody going up, that person is the same one that may have to keep you from falling when you come back down. So you never know. So
you're right. You're absolutely right. But with that, let's shift gears a bit.
Sure.
And move to Indianapolis, where we're talking about
one of my favorite subjects. Go ahead.
All right. Now, again, my guys, Jerry, Jeff, and surprisingly, the Jamaican Ricky, talked about, you know, the plight of the Indianapolis Colts and the players they will and will not have. Well, you know, one player says, if it's time to go, at least I'm going to go out healthy.
Obviously, you know, the main goal is to get as many rings as you possibly can get, mm-hmm. you know, but... Man, when it's all said and done, you look at my career, I just want to make sure I finish up healthy. I've seen the
walk away from the game, not limp away.
Walk away. I've seen, you know, what it's done to, you know, players in the past, and I hear all the stories, and whatever it takes for me to go home healthy, playing with my kids and having fun with them, that's what I want to do.
That was Reggie Wayne, ladies and gentlemen. Reggie Wayne of the Indianapolis Colts. I believe he was talking to Scott Van Pelt on the mm-hmm. Scott Van Pelt Show. Talk to me, Mr. Money. How do you feel about what Reggie was saying? You think he's already packed his bags and conceded that his career is over, or that he's done in Indianapolis?
His career is not over. And one of the things I've seen in different websites is that one of the targets of the Indianapolis Colts is re-signing or extending Pierre Garçon's
mm-hmm.
contract.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that telling me? That's telling me Reggie Wayne looked for another place because sooner versus later, they're not going to look
Native
for you to be a viable race receiver anymore on the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be a house cleaning. Robert Mathis, Jeff Saturday, Reggie Wayne, and a healthy, regardless if it's healthy or not, Peyton Manning. All four of those guys either are looking for a contract or have a contract with a big price ticket will not be with the Indianapolis Colts. They bring in a new regime. Quite naturally, you know, they're going to bring in a new quarterback. And Reggie Wayne and Jeff Saturday. Reggie Wayne's too loyal to Peyton Manning to be able to deal with a rookie quarterback like Andrew Luck. And I think the same would go for Reggie Wayne. They're both going to probably go to an...
You said Reggie Wayne twice.
I'm sorry. Jeff Saturday and Reggie...
Yeah.
Yeah, just Jeff Saturday and Reggie Wayne. To be dealing with a rookie quarterback. So I'm thinking that they're both going to go to a situation that they'll be able to play. Jeff Saturday, maybe even not a starter. I can't think of a team that would need a Jeff Saturday, an undersized center on their team as a starting center. And Reggie Wayne still has years left in him. But I don't think he's going to be a number one wide receiver anywhere. So I don't see those four guys being with the Colts. It's going to be a total house cleaning. It's been a total house cleaning in the front office and the coaching staff. So what else is it? The handwriting's on the wall, huh?
I got a landing spot. Now, I wasn't going to get into this, but I got a landing spot for all of the players you just mentioned.
Okay.
But first, I would like to make an announcement. The Indianapolis Colts would like to take all their talents in the 2012-2013 season to South Beach. I just did a LeBron James type deal. Because they can use a pass rushing DN that they can stick in there 3-4, 4-3, whatever it is going to do. They can use a center, and if Peyton Manning has his center, there's already chemistry there. They can use Reggie Wayne on the opposite side of Marshall because Devin Best is okay, but he's not a threat. They have a decent tight end. That would give Miami instant credibility.
Hey, Vic, I gotta take this phone call. I'll be right back.
It's all right. You got your little porn music on your phone. I got you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to chime in, and I see somebody in the chat room, so welcome and stay guest 3471. You can dial our phone number. It's not toll-free, but you can dial it. 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And you get on the conversation. And if you don't want to, jump in and talk, because I know some people are radio shy, you can always type a question or comment in the chat room, and I will be more than happy to bring it up on the air if it is respectable. What I mean by respectable, don't be saying stupid stuff and expecting me to say it on the air. I might be naive, and I might say some dumb stuff, but Jerry will let me know. Ah, Vic, you got to watch it there. That's why he's the old guy of the show. So, with that said, because I'm like Ron Burgundy. I just read what is up there.
in the chat room, on my show, and I'm not comparing it. On my show, whatever you want to say in the chat room, go right ahead. I mean, because it's me and you only seeing it. So when I'm saying me and you, it's only the person who types it, and I'm the only one seeing it. So if I choose to say it on the air, I say it on the air. If I don't, that's fine and dandy. I'll just tell them that's not happening or whatever. But
Jerry's the loose cannon. I'm sorry, Jerry. Jerry's the loose cannon of our crew. He's willing to get into any and every conversation, especially if you have legs, two female parts, and a third female part. He is more than willing to discuss whatever.
Whatever. Don't bother you. And getting back to what you were saying about bringing them – no, getting back to what you were saying, because I remember what you were saying about bringing them talents to South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be talking to a Miami Dolphin fan. This is another guy I was talking to today. Talking to a Miami Dolphin fan. And this is what I told him. And I think I had said it last week on my program, and I'm going to keep on saying it because I think it's going to happen. Anybody who is in the AFC East – be afraid. Be very afraid of the Miami Dolphins. If they get a viable quarterback, an accurate quarterback, to solidify that position, they have a defense, they have running back, they have a stud wide receiver. Be very careful of the Miami Dolphins because they're going to be a surprise team in the AFC East. I told this guy, I'm very afraid of your team if you guys get a stud quarterback. You got a hell of a coach, I think. Plus, you got two coaches. They got the coach they just hired and their offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator, for those who don't know, hired that coach, the head coach, when they went with the Green Bay Packers. So they've had a long history together.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me when I say this. If they get a good quarterback, meaning they're going to be trying to supposedly going after
Miami.
Peyton Manning, or they get the quarterback that I've been talking about for almost a month, Matt Flynn. I'm telling you, I just saw something on the I forget what website I saw it, that was from Rich Gannon, said he got sources from the Green Bay Packers saying this guy is ready to go. He gets in the right situation. Cleveland, who runs the West Coast offense, Miami, who is the coach who coached Matt Flynn, gets to Miami with the defense they have, with the stud wide receiver they have, with the running backs that they have. Look out. That's all I got to say is look out, because they're going to be a surprise team, and the so-called expert is going to say, where do they come from? I'm calling out right now before the season even starts.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, Jerry. You know, if Peyton goes there, Reggie might follow. Jeff Saturday follows. They've got Reggie Bush, okay? They've got a set offense. Perfect for Peyton. They really don't run the ball anyway, so they don't have to pound Reggie Bush 25 times a game, even though towards the end of the season, Reggie proved that he could handle that load. They've got the young kid, Daniel Thomas.
They got Brandon Marshall, man. Brandon Marshall's a beast.
I know. What I'm saying is you pair him with Reggie Wayne, that would be awesome. And I guarantee you Reggie Wayne would go down there for not as much money if he knows that Peyton's there.
Well,
I can guarantee you that.
Even if Reggie Wayne doesn't show up, they got a speedster in Devon Best that's really no
joke. But nobody's
joke.
Afraid
great...
of him, dude. Nobody is afraid of him. That's why Brandon Marshall hasn't had a good year, because he hasn't had anybody opposite of him to make him afraid. When he was with Denver, Eddie Royer was there for the short time, and they had Brandon Stokley for a short time, at least teams could respect their abilities. They knew that Eddie Royer could take off in a hiccup and could make plays. Right now, Devon Best is at best a number three receiver. Why do you think he never gets drafted in any fantasy draft? Devon Best is a good receiver, don't get me wrong. He is just not a guy that puts fear in anybody's heart. I will go out and check him. I'm not, and I'm 36, 35, going on 36.
No, I'm telling you right now. Listen to him. Please listen to what I'm saying. The reason that they don't respect or whatever you want to say about Devon Best is because of the quarterback situation. They hadn't had a stable quarterback that can get the ball down the field to Devon Best, for one. They fear Brandon Marshall because of his talents. But if you get a good or a stud quarterback that can be accurate, I mean, we're talking about the West Coast offense, basically, which is three steps drop and throw the ball with accuracy. I'm telling you, I don't know how to tell you much more to tell you that this guy will be very beneficial to the Dolphins, Brian Hartline. These guys, a quarterback that's accurate will bring the level of these guys up, just like Peyton Manning brought the level of his wide receiving core up, just like Aaron Rodgers.
I get you. But we're talking about a mass exodus out of Indianapolis. If you take a mass exodus out of Indianapolis, like Reggie Wayne, Jeff Saturday, Rasheem Mathis, and some other folks, and let's say three out of the like five or six people that are leaving head to South Beach, okay? Do you think that Devon Best actually stands a chance at beating out Reggie Wayne as the opposite guy of Brandon Marshall? Regardless,
No, not at all. What I'm saying is, I don't think
he's underrated because of the quarterback play. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I really believe that. And there's another guy, and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name, who's a real speedster, who got a little play on the Dolphins too. That a long ball threat. I think it's Marlon Moore, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. That he's got a ton of speed himself. All I'm saying is this, and I had said it before, and maybe had been long-winded about saying it.
That's usual.
They get a quarterback that is got a better skill level than what they have now, being Matt Moore or Pat Devlin, who happens to be the only two quarterbacks that are signed for next year. They bring it in. I'm bringing in Matt Flynn or Peyton Manning, and I'm not necessarily in that order. I'm just saying. Matt Flynn would probably fit that scheme better, the West Coast offense, because he knows it like the back of his hand. They're going to be a very extremely dangerous team because they have their defense is a solid defense. They have a solid defense right now. What they need, what their key is a quarterback. That's their key. They need a quarterback to run that offense, especially the West Coast that that's going to be employed when Joe Philbin takes over with the offensive coordinator. So,
well, I mean, that's absolutely true, and I would say that you're right that Flynn is a 60-40 chance he'll land in Miami over Peyton Manning, mainly because it's his former offensive coordinator.
Say that
the coach in Green Bay, you know, Mike McCarthy, calls the plays, but this guy was labeled offensive coordinator, and he did a good enough job that the Miami Dolphins hired him as their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance, and there's familiarity there. The coach knows what the quarterback can do. He
mm-hmm.
knows the strengths and his weaknesses. He doesn't have to draft them. He can stick in the system and be assured that the quarterback can drive the bus. And when we talk about stuff like this, coaching changes and stuff, coaches are always linked to their first quarterback that they get to draft or they get to pick. And, you know, Peyton would be – he would draw tickets. He would draw money. And he would probably get him winning. But after that, you got to wait another, 2 years and then rebuild again?
Yeah.
So it makes more sense to go with Flynn. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's my thought process. But let's keep it moving, ladies and gentlemen. We've got about, 50-odd minutes left in the show. I want to thank
mm-hmm.
you all for checking us out. This is Fantasy Sports and Politics. We are live and direct here Saturday, February 4th, the night before the Super Bowl. I am your host, Mr. FSP, Mr. V to the I to the C, and I am too sweet. That's
oh, boy.
That's a wrestling thing.
Too sweet, huh?
Don't go there, dude. Don't
too
go there.
Sweet? That's what you just said. I am too sweet.
Hey, you know what, Jerry? Hey,
well, that's what,
Jerry,
I'm just repeating what
Jerry
you said. You
this
just said I'm too sweet.
I was playing off the NWO for the wrestling fans out there. But
yeah, okay.
It's so I understand you're old. You go back to Bobo Brazil, which is fine.
Too
first
sweet.
Black, you know, wrestler and that made it in pro wrestling. This is African American History Month, so we gotta
too,
talk about
too
that.
Too sweet. That's all I gotta say. Too sweet for life. Too sweet for life.
So you know what, Jerry? You're a jerk. You're a jerk. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, don't believe this dude. Don't believe this dude. I am the one driving around the mystery machine, the mystery van, and, you know, picking people up. But anyway.
Too sweet. I'm not going to let you forget this one. Oh,
whatever,
man.
Guys. Let's move on.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
All right, there are two combatants. They're entering the arena. Super Bowl 46. Historically, it's a rematch of a Super Bowl 4 years ago between the underdog New York Giants and the better record but played worse team, New England Patriots in Indianapolis at Lucas
right.
Oil Stadium. Jason Witten, who's a Dallas Cowboy. Hold on. I said Jason Witten, and I've got the boo right here, so I can't use my own voice. I'm going to say that again. Jason Witten,
ooh,
who's a Dallas Cowboy.
Ooh.
Boy.
Talked about a fellow tight end and had a couple words to say about Mr. Steven Gronkowski, the New England Patriots record-setting tight end.
Well, I mean, there's no question it's going to play a toll on him. And, you know, I think he's the type of guy, though, he seems like he's very tough and understands that he's going to leave it all out there. But he's had a great year. He's been a great target. The mismatches, I think, are still there just because of his size and ability to go catch the ball.
So even with his injury, and, you know, I don't think that his ankle sprain lasted more than a couple days, but, you know, the evil empire, how they like to make people feel or get in a certain comfort zone. And that's evident as to when Gronk had that interview, and or Gronkowski had the interview, and they coached him well, but they coached him so well that he said, I was told not to talk about that. So there you go. He's healthy. He's going to play. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this. I am a betting man, and I am going to place this bet. I believe the first point scored in the NFL Super Bowl 46 will be Wes Welker, not Steven Gronkowski. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. I'm going to place a $20 bet on it. You can follow me if you want. But we got a call from the 301 before I let Jerry respond to what Witten said about Gronkowski, because I know you have a man crush on him as well, Jerry. He's 6'7". But we got a call from 301. We're bringing that caller in and see what they have to say. Calling from 301. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
My name is Mikal, and I'm wondering how you going to place a bet that Wes Welker going to make a touchdown before Gronkowski. What's wrong with you, boy?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my cousin. This is my drunk cousin. Putting up
oh, I'm
stuff,
drunk? Really? Really? It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon out here on the East Coast, and I'm drunk, really?
Hey,
come on, man.
I don't know.
I got kids, man. Come on, really? You don't start drinking until at least after 6. Come on.
He's my cousin. I'm going to put his government out there. Anyway, yes, I'm going to put a bet out there about Wes Welker scoring before Gronkowski, because I feel as though the Giants aren't going to be they're not going to be boo-boo the fool. They know they're going to have to double-team Gronkowski top and bottom. That's going to leave Wes Welker in the slot or wherever he's going to be, wide open one-on-one with that piss-poor New York Giants secondary. And I see him going for a long touchdown, if not a long touchdown, just the first score of the game. I see that happening, and I'm sticking to it. So, Jerry, who do you think is going to get the first score, and what do you think about what Jason Witten had to say about Gronkowski?
Oh, Gronkowski is definitely going to play this game. I don't know how effective he's going to be, because supposedly he's got a high ankle sprain. But knowing that the mentality of Rob Gronkowski, I do believe he's going to play this as hard as he can for as long as he can. And I'm going to throw a crazy one out there, thinking who's going to score first. Since you threw out Wes Welker, which is no big stretch of the imagination, in my opinion.
Hey, he's paying off at 200. He's paying 2-1. That's all I care about.
I'm going to throw out this one. It's called an X-Jet. Danny Woodhead would be the first to score for the New England Patriots. How's that one?
Wow. Let me ask you, why do you think Danny Woodhead, do you think he's going to get more play than the law firm versus this team? I think, this is just my opinion, the Patriots like to run the law firm against teams that can rush the quarterback as well as when they need to establish the run. Danny Woodhead is a quick hitter you know, they got fast linemen. Well, hey, you might be right, because if they put NASCAR out there and you got OC playing D tackle and you got Justin Tuck over there and Matthias Kiwanuka, you might be right.
I put Danny Woodhead out there because he's a change of pace back, plus he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So they're going to be keying on the two tight ends and Wes Welker. That leaves to me that Stephen Ridley is going to probably be able to run the ball, and Danny Woodhead's going to be the change of pace. It's my opinion that when they get near the goal line, and they will get down near the goal line, that they may just throw a little flare out left or right or over the middle to Danny Woodhead into the end zone, 6 points. Thank you very much. Master right again.
Master, every time you bet me, you lose. But I'm going to throw a curveball in there because for some reason I was watching – well, not for some reason. I was watching ESPN America over here because if
okay.
you follow the show, you know I'm in Germany.
We both know you're in Germany.
I said, if you follow the show, I'm talking to the listeners now. Master, calm yourself. Anyway, look at you, speechless.
I'm not speechless. I'm just letting the German talk. Go ahead.
Oh, be quiet. So they were running this piece on the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be part of the reason as to why I think the Patriots are going to win. But Kevin Falk returned shortly before the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he hasn't gotten but maybe a few plays or whatever. But Belichick is fiercely loyal to his players. And I think you might see a Kevin Falk sighting in the end zone, if not a lot of playing time. I really think so because the kid, he's our age or my age, but the guy is, you know, one of those mainstays that he's a good leader, he's a good mentor, he's been there before. Woodhead hasn't. Ridley has not either. He hasn't been in any type of big game whatsoever. And I think you might see Kevin Falk a little bit. It's quite possible. So with that, I'm going to let my cousin, Mikal, go ahead, talk to the people.
Finally.
And,
I remember Kevin Falk. I remember Kevin Falk. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. You know what? The Patriots have so many weapons, it's just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, he's been around. He definitely understands what Belichick is trying to do. You know what? I am a little fuzzy on how many championships the Patriots have. How many do they have? Three?
Three.
Four.
Three. Three.
Yeah. Yes.
The 3-1.
Okay. Oh, 3-1. Okay.
And Kevin Falk has all three of those championships, and he's been
to all four Super Bowls that they've been to.
Yes, and he's played an integral role in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Mm. Well, I know Mr. Taylor has something else you wanted to say because I was rambling on. What do you have to say, Mr. Taylor? Come on.
I'm just making sure that German air doesn't cloud your judgment. That's all.
There you go again.
Yeah, it is watered down. You know, you got to understand you watered down there, Slim. Watered down there. That's why I'm on my way over there with some soul food for you because I don't know what's going on.
Oh, be quiet. Just answer the question. Matter of fact, don't even talk no more. Let's hear from the man himself. Let's hear from Darth Vader himself, Bill Belichick.
We've had a good week of preparation. I know we've got a big challenge here Sunday against the Giants. Great football team, well coached, a lot of outstanding players, and of course we've faced them earlier in the season, so we have a good sense of that. But you know, I feel like our team has had a good week. I feel like we'll be ready to go, and we're looking forward, excited to be representing the AFC in this game. And you know, it's a big challenge for us, but one that we're excited to face.
Now, I'm going to translate that for all you guys out there listening. I'm going to translate that. We got some people in the chat room. You can type up your questions and whatnot in there. What Belichick just said, I'm going to translate it. We're excited to get back in a Super Bowl. We're excited to face the New York Giants, who beat us earlier this year. We're excited to kick them in their teeth and show them what Patriot football is about. We're excited because we lost to them, and my pride is hurt. So therefore, we're going to kick you, beat you, and score 40 points or so versus the Giants in the Super Bowl. That's the translation. You guys take it from there.
Well, Mikal, go ahead first.
Well, it was a little bit more there to it, you know. You know, as you very well know, Belichick is from that New York Giant tree. You know, he was one of the architects of that defense back in the day when they won Super Bowls. So it is a lot of added undertone from him. I know he's stewing over that loss this year, and he's stewing over that loss. And the Super Bowl was very embarrassing. He has historically had some type of contempt for all of the NFC East teams. So he's definitely gonna pull something out of the hat for this game. Definitely.
Well, okay. I mean, I agree. I feel that way as well. But Mr. Taylor. Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
You're from the New York, New Jersey area.
That's correct.
Talk to me about, you know, this matchup. It's, what are you hearing up there that everybody else isn't? I mean, we all know about the national media. What is going on in that area that the national media isn't picking up on that could be a tip-off as to what's going to happen in this game?
Well, I had said this on the Thursday show. One of the things that hasn't been mentioned, I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but a lot of times when I watch the New York Giants play and watched Eli's play in an indoor stadium, Eli seems to struggle in indoor stadiums. And I'm thinking, now this is just a twist on my part. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking this is an indoor stadium with a lot of crowd noise, and Eli hasn't played the last five or six games that they played in an indoor stadium. It's all been outdoor stadiums. This is an indoor stadium. History of Eli, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't been too good playing teams that have indoor stadiums, especially indoors. So I'm thinking Eli, in my opinion, may struggle in this game because of that factor.
I'll tell you this. I can agree and disagree at the same time. I really think that this game is going to be a home game for the Giants. Because the Patriots are hated by the Colt fans. And I'm quite sure there are going to be some Colt fans in there rooting for Peyton's little brother, Eli. And I think because he's a Manny, that he's going to have the home cooking, so to speak, from some of these play calls.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I just got a feeling that somehow Bill Belichick and the rest of the empire will be screwed out of a few plays. With that said, I still think the Patriots are going to win. But let's examine that.
This is what I'm thinking, too, Sweet. I'm thinking that
You know what?
I'm thinking
to get for that one.
I'm thinking that.
I
haven't heard of the affinity of Tom Brady having trouble playing in a stadium versus Eli. I'm still of the opinion, besides Eli having problems playing in indoor stadiums, the Giants have been on a five-game winning streak. They've been on a five-game high. Sooner or later, that high you have to come off of. Sooner or later, that high you have to come off of. Now, I picked the Giants reluctantly on Thursday night because of their defense. But But I also premise this saying that Eli can struggle in this game because they're playing in the stadium. And for my knowledge, Eli hasn't played that well indoors. And Tom Brady doesn't seem to have that problem. So I'm very, very anxious to see this game. Unfortunately, I think I have to watch this game for just to give my opinion on the following Thursday. That's the only reason I'm really watching this game, because I have no rooting interest for either one of these teams because I do not like either one of these teams. So,
it's all right.
But it is what it is. It is what it is.
Black's in the chat room. He had a viral infection, so he's been
yes.
out. It was some bad stuff, as he says, but it is what it is. I'm glad.
He spent time in the hospital.
You were in the hospital, Black? Oh,
he spent time in the hospital. He had said it I think earlier last week that he was had a bout with his bronchitis
pneumonia?
And his asthma attack, and it put him in the hospital because he had problems breathing.
Hey, Black, what's that, man? Come on, dude. I need my hype, man. And he says abnormal pains and trouble sleeping. Uh oh.
Mm-hmm.
You got some Jerry-type stuff going on? You ain't that old. All right. Anyway.
Too sweet.
It's whatever, dude. It's whatever.
Hey,
Mikal.
Wait a minute. Before we go any further, Mikal. Mikal.
Yes, sir.
You there? Are you there? Listen to this now. We're talking in a conversation.
Oh, my God.
And out of the clear blue sky, Vic, and I'm not kidding you, because if you listen to the show, you'll know what I'm talking about. Earlier in the show, he called himself Too Sweet.
Listen, you got a pressure on how I was doing. Mike, listen.
You'll know that. He'll know. Hold on. You'll know nothing about Too Sweet, Slim. He'll know nothing.
It's NWO wrestling jargon. And, of course, Jerry being Jerry, he's the Adrian Adonis of the show.
NWO wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you have no idea who a Too Sweet is now. Nah.
Well, that's what I was prefacing. You know, not anything like Jerry. I said, shut up, sweetness. Hey, Black, I can boot you out of the chat room, too, Slim. I can boot you out of the chat room. Sweet nectar. Hey, dude, get off. Stop fighting stuff, dude. Stop fighting stuff.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, have you ever seen a movie called Penitentiary?
Oh, hell
yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
Hell
absolutely.
No.
That's why I was
saying
when he said he was too sweet.
That's all. Hey, look, Slim, when you say too sweet, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Leon Isaac Kennedy in Penitentiary.
No, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Too sweet against half dead. Yeah. That's
no,
what
thanks.
I'm thinking.
No, thank
that's
you.
What I'm
Let's
thinking.
Let's move on because the show quality has gone downhill.
It hasn't. I encourage you to Google it, you know, because I know.
I've seen that's what I told. That's what I told him. Too sweet for life.
Anyway, let's move on to a player that's in his final year of his contract, and he spoke out about his possibly being his last year at this organization. I'm talking about Dwayne Bowe. Is Dwayne Bowe marketable outside of Kansas City? Let's see what he says about his final year in KC.
It is. I'm going into my fifth year, contract year. So, you know, right now I'm just training, trying to stay in shape to show the coaches that I'm still, you know, top-notch guy that should be paid, you know, what I'm worth. And I'm out here showing and improving it.
So, after, what, one solid year, Dwayne Bowe says he should be paid as a top-notch guy and paid what he's worth. Now, Jerry, his first couple years, I know you had a strong, strong thought process on this because I believe when we started doing the show and we, you know, we saw that he got drafted and all that, you had some thoughts about him. We've been doing this thing for 5 years. Are you kidding me? Couldn't be 5 years. Why didn't you do this
no,
that long?
No, it can't be that long.
Dwayne Bowe ain't been in the NFL that long. Has he?
No.
Has been here 5 years?
No. We've been doing this
for... He's going on his fifth year.
Yeah.
He's going on his fifth year. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so do you think there's a market out there? And, well, obviously there's a market because he's very talented, but he's so erratic in his abilities. Do you think, as he put it, a top-notch guy?
Yes, I do believe Dwayne Bowe is a top-notch guy. He has to get into the right program, situation. He's got to have a strong quarterback. If he doesn't have a strong quarterback, you won't see his full talents come to light. But he's going to be a sought-after weapon for somebody who needs wide receivers. We're talking Cleveland, talking Rams. Those are two right off the top of my head. I may be missing some other teams, but those are two obvious teams right there that need wide receivers. So there's a strong possibility that one of those two teams may go after Dwayne Bowe.
Okay. Well, I'm not too keen on this guy, but it is what it is. I think Dwayne Bowe. Shut up. I think Dwayne Bowe is a good player. And Black says Dwayne Bowe is no Victor Cruz. And he's talking about him going to the Jets. So, hey, that might be a good fit for him.
No.
Now, I don't want him going to the Skins, Black. You can put that away. Put that away. Dwayne Bowe would not be a good fit in D.C. One, we don't have a quarterback that's good enough to get him the ball. Two, if we did, he would just make the quarterback look bad. I don't like Dwayne Bowe. I don't like any LSU products other than LaRon Landry. So that's that.
Well,
speaking of which, go ahead.
Go ahead. I got one for you. I mean, I know you're talking about players that and where they may go. I got one for you that may not have been brought up or you may not have heard about. The Raiders are going to a zone blocking scheme, which when Tom Cable was the coach of the Raiders, Darren McFadden did not excel at. He only excelled when Hugh Jackson became the head coach and made Darren McFadden the focal point and geared it to the offense so Darren McFadden could succeed. So now they're going to a zone blocking scheme. Who's to say that they will re-sign Michael Bush and dangle Darren McFadden out as a trading option?
Well, he's often injured, but he's highly talented. Michael Bush proved that he could carry the load for the bulk of the year. You know, MJD had, what, 4 or 5 games, and then he was injured for the rest of the year with a high ankle sprain.
Which is nothing new.
Yeah, so that could take place. And Michael Bush has been a great player when he was coming out of college. I believe he came out of Rutgers. Louisville.
Right, yes.
My boy Ray Rice came out of Rutgers. But out of Louisville, and if not for a broken leg in his last season, he would have been a top 3 pick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
the thing about this, if Darren McFadden gets dangled out there and gets traded from the Raiders, I talked about this kid last year. He didn't do anything. They're going to probably use the same type of platoon, maybe. And we got a speed for the same make and model as Chris Johnson and Jamal Charles, Tywan Jones. Just remember these things that I'm saying here, because that could come to light. Darren McFadden could be gone. Michael Bush could be the featured back, and Tywan Jones to change of pace. So
that's what I was thinking, because Black's in the chat room, and he's saying don't be fooled by Bush's full year. He's injury prone as well, which is true. But I think he proved this year that he could handle the load, running the ball and catching the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
He was already the goal line guy to begin with.
Right.
So you would just need to spell them from time to time. If you go, you know, power and speed, that's a good mm-hmm. combination.
Right.
You know, so it's a possibility. I can tell you right now, a person who would try to snatch him up would be freaking Mike Shanahan. I think he would. I think he would take him because he's a one-cut guy, but he doesn't, as you said, excel in the zone-blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he would love to add to his collection of running backs, but with the young backs he has, Evan Royster, Roy Helu, and Tim Hightower, I don't think they need any more running backs other than a couple fullbacks on the team. But you never know. There are teams out there that can use a Darren McFadden. You know, I know even though Black don't want to hear this, his cowgirls or cowboys could probably use him because any time they say that DeMarcus Murray is going to be the featured back, okay, he broke his leg or he broke his, was it his shin or was it his femur? It was something he broke. He's going to end up like Felix Jones. He's bigger than Felix. He's an OU guy, so I got to show him love and support. But I don't know.
Why?
I don't know,
he could be too sweet, too. Who knows?
Oh, shut the fuck
up. I'm telling you, I'm not going to let you forget you calling yourself too sweet.
Whatever. Speaking of that, since my
Mikhail career, awful quiet back there.
Well, he about to fire up. He about to fire
okay.
up. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me. So let me get the predictions of the Super Bowl, and then we'll go from there. Mr. Taylor, you said you picked the Giants Thursday. Here's your opportunity to change your mind, if you so choose to do so.
I am so torn on this game, man. I mean, every time these teams have played each other, it's been a very close game. One way or the other, and right now it's 2-1 Giants. You know, Eli scares me, and I had, like I said, I stated it before, Eli scares me in the dome. I really think Eli doesn't play that well in the dome, and I'm willing to change my thought process and go with the Patriots. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to. I don't like either one of these teams, and I can't really can't stand the Patriots. But I think they're going to prevail in this game. I got to go with the Patriots and Tom Brady. I think the evil empire is going to think of something to offset what the Giants do on defense, and get over on the Giants in this game. So I'll change it and go to Patriots, even though I'm going to throw up after we get off this program.
Well. Black says, gee, man, no wins for Pat since Videogate. We're talking about no Super Bowl wins since the infamous video.
He's absolutely right. Absolutely right.
With them and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. Michael, who you got?
I'm going with the Patriots. Going with the Patriots by a field goal or a winning touchdown.
All right. I'm going with the Patriots by 8 or more.
Oh.
8 or more. All right. And I'm not going to recant. Here we go.
Was that a knock on me, man? What's up? What's up with that? What's up?
Nothing.
Yeah, see? You thought you
Nothing.
Slipped that real quick and then move on. What's up
what
with
are you
that?
Too
sweet.
Hey, you
too sweet.
Like
too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet.
Y'all two were made for each other. Now be quiet, both of you. Here we go. Since we're talking about two sweet people, a guy that got to serve an 87-day sentence that's really too sweet decided, or he didn't decide, excuse me, his management decided to fight Miguel Cotto on May 5th. Cinco
yeah, the
de Mayo.
Other dude he been ducking.
So, therefore, there will be no Pac-Man versus
Hello?
The Moneymaker.
Pacquiao.
I said Pac-Man.
Versus Merriweather.
Versus
Pac-Man.
Whatever. Black says, Kyle and you must have read Gisele Bündchen's players, prayers. Whatever. So anyway, let's go through this, all right? I already know how my cousin's going to come out the gate, so I'm going to let him go first so I can set up the rebuttal. Go ahead, Michael.
I mean, you got Mayweather fighting another fighter now that supposedly he's been ducking. So that's all I need to say.
Okay. Just to say that, but okay, we can deal with that.
Well, supposedly he's been ducking this guy. Well, he's not getting ducked anymore because come May 5th, on my birthday, on Cinco de Mayo, the Independence Day for Mexico, the guy's going to be freed of his consciousness by Merriweather. So, wish it was Pacquiao versus Merriweather. But
Mayweather.
Otherwise, I'll settle for him knocking out Cotto versus knocking out Pacquiao. So.
Okay. Well, Miguel Cotto, and I've talked to a lot of boxing folks and a lot of Cotto supporters, and you know they're rather upset that he's fighting Mayweather. Black says Pac and Mayweather will never happen. Cotto is tough, but not sure if Cotto can stop money, and that's what a lot of the supporters of Cotto are saying. You know, they were all up in arms when Cotto got beat by Marquez. Who's the guy he just destroyed like a couple months ago? That had
Margarito.
Margarito. You know, he just totally destroyed Margarito. And, you know, they were all hyped up for that fight. But now I got a couple buddies over here that were like, oh, this is a setup fight, and, you know, why even do this, and da-da-da-da-da.
Really?
And, you know, it's like Cotto is in it for the payday. Because he doesn't stand a chance at outboxing Floyd Mayweather. He doesn't at all. I will say that. If he tries to slug with him, okay, then we'll see if Cotto can take a punch from Floyd and Floyd can take a punch from a heavy hitter. But Cotto is not a boxer. He's not a effective enough boxer that he can go ahead and, you know, win on points. I see Floyd doing what he normally does, which is tap, 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 win a round. Tap, 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 win a round. I don't think he's going to go for the knockout. I think he's going to go for the payday, serve his time, and then yell at Pacquiao again for not fighting him. Now, I'm not switching my sides or allegiance in this situation, but I think, you know, I think Pac, he had a good point. Let's make more money 2 weeks later. You know, the judge could have got Mayweather a boxing license for that new date or whatever the case may be. But Floyd's going to need a warm-up bout or two after he gets out of jail to fight Pac again. And by that time, like Black saying, nobody's really going to care.
87 days? 87 days? Really?
Yeah, you still
really?
Got to train.
Hold on, Slim. It's more than 87 days to this fight now. I mean, what are you saying? 87 days is no time. No.
I know, but when you come out of jail, he's not going to be doing the same type of training, living the same type of lifestyle, or boxing, or prepping like he normally would, you know, to fight a prize fight. He's probably going to have to take a warm-up fight just to get, you know, back in the same type of boxing condition he was before.
Nah, dude. You're tripping.
What?
Yeah, you're tripping.
I mean,
87 days is not a year. 87 days is not a two-year you know, being in jail for 2 years for shooting yourself in the foot. 87 days is not being in jail for 2 years after mutilating some dogs. It's not the same thing, dude. It's not the same thing.
But it's 3 months. It's the same amount of time you prepared
for
fight,
dude, it's more than
though.
Three. There's more than 3 months now before this fight was going to happen. He knew back in, like, what, December, January, that they was putting this fight on? Come on, Vic. This dude can go in there, have this fight, you know, go do his 87 days and still come out and do another fight in November. Really? No, man. Because he ain't going to do no more than maybe two fights a year. That's it. Right, this don't even stop his pattern.
So he goes out of the summer. His summer's done. He's in prison for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Then he comes out.
Back in September, October. So that
means
he trains.
Signs for a fight. He got to sign.
So,
he got to set the fight up.
But you telling me that he gets out in October. The fight's November, December. He's gonna be prepared enough. And don't give me the bull about how much better he is than Pac-Man or whatever. Don't give me that.
No, I'm not giving you that. I'm telling you straight up. You're tripping.
So you are tripping. So fresh out of prison, you telling me he's only going to need 1 month to fight, to prepare to fight Pac-Man.
No, I'm saying you're tripping. I am saying you are exactly tripping because he can go in there and fight in May. You know what I'm saying? Then go do his time. From June to what? June, July, August,
September.
September. Yes. Get out. Sign up another fight, which will probably be late November, early December. Start training and get in there and win the fight. Yes.
Versus
yes.
Pac-Man. I'm talking about versus Pac-Man.
It could be versus Pac-Man.
Alvarez,
it could be. It could be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It could be Pac-Man. It could be who? It could be Berto, who I really want to see him fight. You know, somebody with some kind of boxing skill for real.
Mhm. I agree.
It could be any of them. It doesn't matter. It still doesn't deviate from the way he's been fighting. He's only been fighting like two fights a year anyway.
All right. Well, hold on.
If that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got 12 minutes left in the show, and if you want to get in on this, because I got a feeling me and my cousin about to dominate this, but I'm going to let Jerry get in here too. But if you want to get your thoughts in, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can go to the chat room, and right now, my boy, shut up, Black.
And when you dial that number, ask for two sweet. And you'll get it.
Hey, you know what, Jerry? You do that too well. Let's just say that. But Black says, Mike, you're sniffing sweetness. So it is what it is. But
sniffing the sweetness.
Yeah, that's what it is. So you can do one of the three things, ladies and gentlemen. But Jerry, say your piece before I get back on my high horse, because I got a feeling I ain't going to be able to promo the shows correctly, because I'm going to be rushing. Go ahead.
Well, you know, just like Macau was saying, it ain't going to make a bit of difference. He fights this guy, and just like he was saying, he only fights about two fights a year. So this is right in his wheelhouse, the same pattern he's been following. He's going to do a little vacation in jail. He come out just like he would after a fight, just like he did after a fight. He take a little hiatus, and then toward the end of the year, he puts in another fight and fights whoever is in front of him. This is the same pattern he's been following before, so this is no big deal to me or to Mayweather. So he can fight Pacquiao later on in the year. You don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think after he takes his jail time or whatever, he's going to need more than just a month or two to prepare to fight Pacquiao.
No.
Reason being is because it's not just a fight, you know, like you can just pick up and fight Cotto with a couple of months' work or whatever. It's the fight that is quote unquote fight of the century, so to speak.
See, this is why I'm saying you're tripping.
In your mind, it's
the biggest fight of the century.
Exactly.
And like I told you the last time we talked about it, you will be highly disappointed at this fight, Pacquiao and Mayweather. You're gonna be highly disappointed. Because you're going to come in there all emotional. You want to see this dude fight. It's not going to be a fight. It's going to be a boxing match. That's the problem. It's going to be a boxing match. Strictly a boxing match. Pacquiao has two chances in this fight, in the fight with Mayweather. The first chance, when he comes in and Mayweather's trying to get his timing down, that's his first shot. And once Mayweather gets his timing down, the second shot, he's going to have to make it a fight. And it's not going to happen.
I think it will become a fight because Pacquiao's going to force him to fight. Now, I agree with you.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
I agree 100% that it's going to be a boxing match because Floyd is going to – he's not going to look to knock out Pac-Man. He's just going to look to score points and win.
This is why I know you don't know what you're talking about. Mayweather can knock him out boxing. If you watch that last fight when he fought Juan Manuel Marquez, he was boxing, and he caught him with a clean boxing shot and dropped him. Dude, no, you're tripping.
I'm tripping. Y'all just tripping. I am right, Vic.
There's four words that I think you fell into real quick, along with the regular national media. Don't believe the hype.
The hype. Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, listen, boy. I'm gonna tell you how I feel about it, and I'm hoping Black calls in because I know he rides the coattails of the Pac-Man, but he has some views for money as well. But I know he's recuperating, so I don't like stress his voice or nothing like that. But you know,
feel better, Black.
I think, and he says they won't fight till they're 45, and I think that's about right. As I said, I said this like several weeks ago. I think when they do fight, it's going to be past their prime and past the time that people want to see them fight. Just like with Roy and the Executioner fight number two. Nobody really wanted to see that fight when they were both in their 40s, even though Bernard was still pretty daggone good. Roy slipped, and he was done, going up and going down in weight and doing this, that, and the third. It's not going to be a fight people want to see at that age.
I got a question for you. Okay, they fight past their prime. Well, who's still going to be the better fighter past their prime? Who do you think still going to be a better fighter past their prime?
Because of their style of boxing. Because their style of boxing and Floyd. Because Floyd avoids a lot of shots. Whereas Pac-Man prefers to stand there and slug. He's going to end up like, he takes good angles to get his shots, but he doesn't necessarily use good angles to avoid shots. So with that said, like I said, Floyd, and I agree, Floyd is the better boxer. But I think that Pac-Man needs to turn it into a slugfest in order for Pac-Man to stand a chance. But at an advanced age, I think Floyd will still have a little more speed than Pac-Man or quickness than Pac-Man. And I will give the advantage to Floyd then. But right now, I give the advantage to Pac-Man because Pac-Man wants to make it a fight. And Mayweather, with his ego, he won't let, you know, Pac-Man make it a slugfest and not slug back.
See, and this is why we say you tripping.
Wait a minute. What I'm saying about this, I'll let you get your say in. What I'm saying about it is that Pac-Man, if he tries to make it a fight, Mayweather's going to be smart enough to try to hit him and go. Use his angles and use his speed and his footwork to get away from the power punches and land some solid punches. They don't have to be, you know, mainly power punches, but they just have to be solid punches to keep him at bay and get him to say, okay, well, let me not rush in to this to swing for the fences versus money. I see that being the case. But if you can get him in a corner and Mayweather has to swing, if he gets him against the ropes and Mayweather has to swing, his shell defense is not going to allow him to defend so good or so great against Pac-Man. That's just the way I see it. If they just, you know, if they stay in the center of the ring and just go at it, Pac-Man's got it all day. But if
this is how I know you don't know what you're talking about in boxing.
Oh, my gosh.
This is how I know you don't know what you're talking about with boxing, especially a fighter like Mayweather. Mayweather is not necessarily a bicycle fighter. He's not. If the worst thing that Pacquiao can do is to stand in the middle of the ring with Mayweather. That's not what he wants to do. What he wants to do is to try to get him in the corner, right? But Mayweather's not going
to
stay in the corner. No. But you're kind of saying it like he's a bicycle fighter. No, he's not. And even if they were up on the ropes, I don't believe that Pacquiao's going to be able to get all of those angles that and get those shots in the way you think he will. It's not going to happen. Mayweather's going to keep him. One thing he's got to do is definitely keep Pacquiao in the center of the ring. That's one thing. He wants to stay. He wants to definitely stay off the rope. Stay from the corner. But
he don't want
to
stay in front of him.
He can stand in front of him. It doesn't matter. He can stand right there in front of him, and it's not a thing where he's going toe to toe. See, that's the thing about Mayweather. His defense can allow him to stand there in the clutch with him, and he's not going to catch him. He ain't. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay. One of us is going to be wrong, and when I play, I'm going to open the show the Saturday after the fight, or I might even host the master plan that day.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't.
Whatever. I might just do a special show, whatever it is, and just play that, you know, whichever one of us is wrong, as the opening and the closing to that show.
Nah,
because
I think you're
going to
disappear
wrong.
For like a week.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Say you're going out with the fam somewhere.
I ain't got
and
to
then
worry
come
about
back. They try to come back
anyway.
Real smooth, but we ain't gonna let you forget.
No one ever can forget Too Sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got 2 minutes left in the show, and surprisingly, we're not going in overtime. So I'm gonna get this 2 minutes out real quick, and I'm gonna make sure you guys have a great night and enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. I'm your host, Mr. FSP. You can call me what you want, but just like the NWO, nah, I ain't going to give Jay satisfaction. We are here every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bringing you live information and entertainment. Me and my co-host Jerry, sometimes my other guys join in, my cousin Mikhail, he's on the line too. On Sundays, we've got The Master Plan with JT Money. We talk about anything and everything, sex, lives, drugs, and videotape, maybe all of them at the same time. Then, on Tuesdays, we got Camp Fun with Compassion Dakini. Totally different from what we do here. Totally different. And
good
yes,
show.
Jerry says it's a good show. It is a good show. And Kim is very uplifting and always positive and things of that nature. She's got some great stuff to share with you. Then on Thursday nights, we have FSP Crew Show. That's Fantasy Sports Politics Crew Show. My guys, my crew, JT Money, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, and the Jamaican comes in and does their thing. You never know who's going to drop in. And on Wednesdays, you got Grown Soul and Real Talk on Blog Talk Radio, hosted by my cousin Mikhail and his other folks. Wednesdays, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. They always talk about something grown. Trust me, it's always adult over there in that neck of the woods. We are doing what we do because we do it for you. All I can tell you is, all we do is win. Go Pats, bet on Brady. Don't worry about Eli. He'll do his thing, too. we're going to be where we're going to be. You come back and see us. Fellas, real quick, 20 seconds. Got anything you want to say, Jerry?
You've been listening, too.
All right, guess we're going to end the show on that, then. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you. But as Jerry said, you've been listening, too.
Too sweet.
This is for some politics.
Ready to rumble. You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.